All right, everyone, let's come together and pray for the message today. As always, this message needs prayer. And so that's what I think about every message. It's like, Lord, you better show up because I don't know what I'm doing here. And I always feel dependent, and that's a good thing, dependent on the Holy Spirit to move. And so let's pray for that. Lord Jesus, we just ask that you would come into this place, that you would fill this place with your presence in your word, and that your spirit would move in these words as we read your scriptures. And Lord, I ask that someone here, maybe everyone, maybe someone, would hear this message and there would be things in their heart that is stirred. And Lord, so we ask today that you'd be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, happy Mother's Day again. And this is a wonderful day. It was kind of stormy and ugly yesterday. And just like Easter, it seems like Mother's Day is always bright and sunny and full of flowers. Usually it's not stormy that I can remember. I don't really remember a stormy Mother's Day. And so it's always a good day just to reflect. Scripture says to honor your mother and father. And this is a day that we get to do that. We get to honor our mother. And then in a couple of weeks, sometime in June, I don't even know when Father's Day is, but that's going to happen then. It's funny, fathers don't really pay attention to that day a whole lot. He's like, when's that day? But you can't forget Mother's Day, for sure. You will be in so much trouble. And not just for that, but it's a wonderful day to just reflect on the goodness of our moms. Maybe you had a godly mom. Maybe you didn't have a godly mom. But I'm here to tell you that our God is very good. And so I've known people who did not have very good moms, and then the Lord has provided spiritual moms for them. And they've had great moms, and the Lord has provided spiritual moms for them too. And even if you haven't had a great mom, you can be a great mom. Even if you're done having kids and all that, you can be a wonderful, godly influence as a grandmother. And if you're raising up girls, you should be raising them to be godly moms. And that's the whole point, right? And so today we're going to talk about three mothers. Three different mothers that trusted the Lord. And the Lord put these three mothers on my heart to just give them to you guys. And hopefully there's some application into our lives. There's three mothers here that we're going to see today that lived out characteristics and principles that apply to us today. The first mother I want you guys to learn about today, maybe you already know her, is Jochebed. Jochebed is the mother of Moses. And so she doesn't get a lot of attention in Scripture, but I wanted this morning to show her and highlight her as a mother of sacrifice and faith. If you're a mother, you know about sacrifice. And if you're a mother, you probably know about faith. That there's been times where you've had to cry out to the Lord and you've had to make sacrifices and you've had to really trust Him in all that's going on. Turn with me, if you would, to Exodus chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Exodus 2, and this is where we see the story of Jochebed. Exodus chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And a man of the house of Levi went out and took as wife," this is Jochebed, "a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months." Why did she hide him 3 months? She hid him 3 months because the Pharaoh of the time saw that the Hebrews were becoming plentiful. The Egyptians didn't like that. They said, they're going to outnumber us. We need to stop this. All of these Hebrews are breeding and they are multiplying and we're going to be in trouble in a couple of decades here. And so the Pharaoh said, hey, from now on, I want every Hebrew child born chucked into the river. Kill them. Kill every male child that comes from the Hebrews. And so we see that this is the time that Moses is born into. Verse 3, "But when she could no longer hide him," so she hid him for 3 months, "when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, dabbed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister, Miriam, stood afar off to know what would be done to him. And then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river," this is verse 5, And her maidens walked along the riverside, and when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call a nurse for you from the Hebrew women?" Convenient that she was there, right? "And she may nurse the child for you." Verse 8, "And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the maiden went and called the child's mother. And then Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" It took a tremendous amount of faith and sacrifice to lay her baby in the water, knowing that she was going to be giving up this child at some point. And even if her scheme, having her daughter hang out, watching what was going on, it's like, okay, make me the nurse, right? So this wonderful thing happens, and I think Jochebed probably had this plan the whole time. Even then, you still at some point have to hand your baby over to Pharaoh's daughter. You have to give this baby up. And this incredible sacrifice that she had in her mind, you know what? It's better that this child live, and I know that he lives, than throw him into the river and die. And even if I have to make a sacrifice as a mom, I'm going to pour into this child as his nurse from those early years. And we see even that Moses probably knew where he came from, probably knew who his mom and dad kind of were, that they were Hebrews at least, because she raised him up from the beginning. Jochebed didn't know this would go well. She had to trust and have faith in the Lord, and she also had to have sacrifice and faith. Does it feel like you make sacrifices for your family? Jochebed did the same thing. And what keeps you going as a mom? It's got to be faith. It's got to be trust that the Lord, that these things are going to work out, that the promises of the Lord are going to come to pass. If you don't have faith in the Lord, what do you have? What do you hold on to as a mom in those tough times? Jochebed had faith in the Lord that he would take care of her son. And she also knew there was going to be some sacrifices. It's interesting that Hebrews talks about her again as the parents of Moses, as the collective there. Hebrews 11, 23 through 25, it mentions this. This is the hall of fame of faith, right? This is all of the big names of faith in Scripture. And it mentions Moses' parents. It says in verse 23, "By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. And by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin." Hebrews 11 links the faith of Moses to the faith of his parents. And I believe it's because Jochebed was the one raising him from the beginning, raised him up and presented him to Pharaoh's daughter. God rewarded the faith of Moses' mother, Jochebed. Isn't it incredible that she has Moses, the deliverer of the nation? She has Aaron, who's the first priest, and of course, Miriam, who's there too. And Miriam is the one who sees Moses and rescues him. Imagine having the kind of faith that your kids would do something. I'm going to make the sacrifices that my kids might serve the Lord someday. What a pair of sons to have serving the Lord, Moses and Aaron. Their names go down in history as the leaders of the Hebrews, leaders of Israel, coming out of Egypt. The second mom I want us to pay attention to is Naomi. Naomi is a mother of influence and redemption. We don't often think of her in that way. But Naomi was the wife and mother who experienced great loss. I don't know if you've experienced great loss, but Naomi experienced great loss. When there was a famine, her and her family moved into a foreign land, into Moab. And shortly after that, her husband dies. Her two boys get married, and then both of them within 10 years die. And she's left with no husband, no sons. And all she has is two Moabite women left in this foreign land where she has no friends, no family anymore. And so what does she do? She says, you know what? I'm going to go back to where the Lord is. I'm going to go back to Bethlehem, the house of bread. She says, I'm going to go back. And she urges both of these daughters-in-law to go back and to start their own life. To say, hey, you know what? Go back to your old life. Go back to what you were doing before. And both of them go to her and say, no, no, we're not going to go. And then finally she says, you know what? How about you go back? And the one does and Ruth doesn't. So Ruth goes with Naomi and they go back to the house of bread. I believe that during this time, there was some influence. During those 10 years where Naomi got to pour into her daughters-in-law, that they saw the way she lived, they saw the way she interacted. I don't know if you've had a good mother-in-law. Maybe you've had a bad mother-in-law, like a lot of folks always make the jokes about, but Naomi was that mother-in-law who was an example to Ruth. And so when it came down to it, when she's going to go back, here's the influence that Naomi had, I believe. Ruth chapter 1, they're about to separate, and then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah, the other daughter-in-law, kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said this, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you, for wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. Verse 17, and where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more so also, if anything but death parts you and me. Does it sound like Naomi had had a little bit of an influence on Ruth? She's like, your gods are going to be my gods. The way that you live, that's going to be the way I live. Where you die, that's going to be where I die. And so there had been something that had gone on in those 10 years that Ruth said, you know what? I see something in Naomi that I want. And when Naomi tells her, go back to your own gods, go back to Moabite, all those things, she goes, nope, I want your God. I want your God. I want the way you live. The way that you live, I want to live that way. Your gods are going to be my gods, and where you die, I want to die there. And so we see the influence that Naomi had in her life. I'll apply this right here to us. There's so many people that need the love of Jesus through the love of a mother. It seems like good moms and good dads are getting fewer and fewer, further between. You know, it's just not happening in our world the way that it did at one point. And we see that as waves of unrighteousness happen in cultures that moms and dads become scarce. And so this world needs good moms and dads. And so who is God asking for you to pour into? And this is how it applies to not just the moms of little kids, but to spiritual moms. Who's God asking you to pour into? Because people may have had a horrible mom. They need to see a mom driven by Jesus. People may have had horrible experiences with their parents. They need to see spiritual moms and dads, but especially spiritual moms. So much of the damage that's caused by moms just living their own life, not loving their kids, that can be undone by Jesus in the life of his believers coming in and saying, you know what? I know you may have had a rotten experience, but I can be a spiritual mom to you. And so this applies. Have the influence that Naomi had on her daughter-in-law. This girl's not even blood. This girl is not her blood. This girl is not even her culture. This girl is a Moabite, a pagan. And yet she pours into her, says, okay, let's go. And even though she's bitter herself, she's obedient and brings her along. So Naomi goes home. Naomi goes home with Ruth in tow, and when she comes back, she tells the people, hey, don't use my name anymore. Call me Bitterness. You think she'd experienced some heartache in her life. She's like, don't use my name. Call me Bitterness now. She'd seen that life wasn't fair. Life wasn't fair at all. And being a mom is full of life is not fair. And it definitely can be, isn't it? Especially if you've experienced loss in your life. But how does the story end? How does the story end? That's the important part. Well, God has a plan for Ruth and Naomi. The woman who had incredible loss, who had exerted influence, she's now going to experience redemption. With Naomi's encouragement, Ruth begins to talk to Boaz. If you know the story, Boaz is a distant relative. He's a picture of Christ. And eventually Boaz has the opportunity, through all these circumstances, has the opportunity to redeem the situation. To make a longer story shorter, Boaz redeems the land, the family, and even more. Listen to how this story ends. The story of heartache, story of loss, but a story of influence and redemption. Here's the redemption part, Ruth 4:13. It says, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And when he went to her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And then the woman said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may his name be famous in Israel. And may he be to you a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. For your daughter-in-law who loves you, who is better to you than seven sons, has borne him.' And then Naomi took the child, laid him on her bosom, and became a nurse to him. And also the neighbor woman gave him a name, saying, 'There is a son born to Naomi,'" not to Ruth, to Naomi. "And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David." So Naomi, this woman who experiences great loss, who's bitter, but yet she's still exerting influence on this young Moabite woman, through coming back to the house of bread, coming back to where God had asked her to be, the Lord redeems this whole situation. And guess what? She's holding in her lap King David's grandpa. King David's grandpa is now on her lap, and she gets to have influence over King David's grandpa. Do you think David knew his grandpa? You think Naomi got to sing songs to his grandpa? How cool that she had influence, and then God redeemed this whole situation where it looks totally hopeless. All I have left is a Moabite woman. How could anything come of that? This Moabite woman ends up becoming the great-grandma of King David. Only God does stuff like that. So don't give up if you've experienced loss and hardship. God can redeem it. And you're called to be an influence for Jesus Christ because he can redeem your life. Finally, the last mom that I'll highlight, and there's so many moms to highlight in Scripture, but for the sake of time, only three today. Mary, the mother of Jesus. I put on here a mother of belief and prayer. There's a lot of different avenues you can go down with Mary, the mother of Jesus, right? There's so many blessed. She's blessed among women, and she has this incredible faith even as a teenager. But if you can imagine getting pregnant as a young teenager, it looks scandalous. It looks like it's life ruining. And yet she chooses to serve the Lord and love the Lord. But I picked somewhat of a strange place to demonstrate her belief in her son. But I believe it shows Jesus' love for his mother, her belief in her son, and it shows their humanity, their human relationship as a mother and a son. And it's right here in John 2, verses 1 through 5, and we would get there anyway because we're going through the book of John, but I figured I would touch on this today a little bit. John 2, verses 1 through 5, it says this: "On the third day," they're at a wedding, right? "There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding, and when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, 'They have no wine.' And Jesus said to her, 'Woman, what does your concern have to do with me?'" Typical son, talking back to his mom. "My hour has not yet come. And this is what Mary says. His mother said to the servants, so she goes over to the servants like, yeah, I hear what you're saying, son. Goes over to the servants and she says, whatever he says to you, do it. Only a mom going, yeah, he just talked back to me, but like, he's a good boy. He's going to do the right thing. So just whatever he says to do, why don't you guys just do it? I love this because it shows her belief in her son. She knows he can do it. He can do anything. And I'm sure that she saw things. She remembers the promises that she hid in her heart. She raised this boy. And now when he goes and talks to her, he's like, my time's not even ready, mom. He's like, this isn't my time. She's like, yeah, okay. Just whatever he says to do, just do that. So he goes, and you know the story. The servants fill up the water pots with water. He turns it into wine. They serve the wine. And they say, this is the best wine we have ever had here at this wedding. You usually serve all the good wine at first. And when everyone's well drunk, then we serve the inferior wine, right? But what Jesus made was wonderful. It was good. And we see here that belief in her son. Isn't it wonderful the way that moms believe in their kids? It's so encouraging. It's so wonderful that we see the love of God and the support of our moms so often. It's one of the amazing things about moms that I've experienced in my life, and hopefully you have too, the mom's belief in their kids. Your kid may be terrible at stuff, but mom does not see that. Mom's like, you're the best at this. And it's so encouraging for kids because they need to have that voice. They need to hear that voice in their heads. They need to know that someone will always be rooting for them. They need to know that. When a whole world is against you, you know that you still have your mom and your mom is still pulling for you. My mom never said that I couldn't do something. She always encouraged us and believed that we could do it, even if she was just faking it for the benefit of us. She's a good faker. So I always believed that she really believed we could do it. I've always had the support of my mom. I know she's always been praying for me. I can't look over this direction right now because I'll lose it. But my mom has always supported me and always been praying for me and always thought the best of me, even when I was unlovable. My mom loved me. So there's something so powerful in believing in your kids, thinking the best of your kids, speaking the best about your kids, and pouring into them. And even when they're total jerks, which they will be probably in the teenage years, praying for them nonstop and praying for them without ceasing, saying, I'm going to pray for my kids and believe the best about them, believe what God has for them, no matter what I see, no matter what circumstances are happening, I'm going to believe that. And we see that belief in Mary. We also see that Mary was a woman of prayer. We assume that anyways. She makes this incredible declaration in the beginning of Luke. Magnify, my soul magnifies the Lord. She has this incredible prayer to the Lord. And I believe that throughout Jesus' life, she was a woman of prayer. But something that gets a little less traction is the idea that even when Jesus ascended to heaven, that she was still a woman of prayer. We see her in Acts chapter 1, there in the upper room with the disciples. You don't often think of Mary being there on the day of Pentecost, but she was there. Acts chapter 1, verse 12 through 14, it says, then they returned to Jerusalem. Remember, Jesus had told them to tarry there until the Holy Spirit would come. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room and they were staying in. And Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Interesting. Did you catch that before? When you read Acts before, that Mary and Jesus' brothers are there? It was a family affair that they're praying together. They're praying in the upper room. I believe that if Joseph were around, we believe that he wasn't at that time, but if Joseph were around, he would have been there too. The whole family would have been there praying. And I think that's a testament to a mom of prayer, that the kids rise up and call her blessed, that they see their mom praying and they go, I want to pray like that too. And that's a calling for each of you moms. Be a woman of prayer, that your kids see you praying, that they hear you praying, that when things get difficult in life, your response is prayer. So that when things get difficult in your kids' lives, their response is prayer. That never goes away. When things get difficult in my life, I go, I should pray. When things are good in my life, I think I should pray. When things are just going ho-hum, I should pray. It's important that our parents, and as parents, we model prayer, and especially the influence that moms have. Growing up, every week, my mom would go to a prayer meeting, and it was a women's prayer meeting. I don't know if it was Tuesday night, or I think it was Tuesday nights. And we kind of resisted my mom and hated doing anything. Little boys, so me and my closest brother. But she would take us over to her friend's house, and there was a women's prayer meeting every Tuesday night. And these women would get together, and they would pray, and they would pray and pray. And the kids were left to be in the back room or in the backyard, and we were out there breaking things and doing all sorts of bad stuff and interrupting the prayer meetings. But they were always so good for them, and I know that it meant so much. My mom spent countless hours with these women praying for my dad, praying for us, praying for all the situations that were coming up in ministry, praying for all of the hardships that were going on around us. And I know that there are so many things that were overcome in those prayer meetings that I'm not even privy to. I have no idea. But I know that they spent hours and hours praying for us as kids, for my dad, for our whole family and the families represented there, as well as other people. How many schemes of the devil have been thwarted and upended by the fervent prayers of mothers for their children and for their husbands? I'd say a lot. A lot. If not for the prayers of mothers, man, where would we be? So let me wrap this up. In Jochebed, we saw the mother of sacrifice and faith. In Naomi, we saw a mother of influence and redemption. In Mary, we saw a mother of belief and prayer. Something they all have in common, all three surrendered their kids back to the Lord. All three of them. In different ways, but definitely surrendered back to the Lord. These are my kids. Lord, you've given me the kids. They're your kids. Here you go. Each one of them had to go through something difficult and surrender the kid back to the Lord and say, you have to take care of this kid. And if you're raising kids or if you have raised kids, you know that that's a reality. At some point, you have to hand your kids back over to the Lord. Say, I honored you with the way I raised these kids, and now they're yours. When they're 18, you got to hand them back over to the Lord and say, Lord, you got to take care of them. We did our best. And you got to trust the Lord. I wanted to bring this back to kind of what matters anyways, Jesus. You see, as mothers, the most important thing you can give your kids is Jesus. It's the most important thing. You can fail in every other area, but if you're giving your kids Jesus, that's what they'll hold on to. That's what matters in life. Jesus is what matters to children. Jesus is what matters for their future. In Him is everything. Jesus is everything for us. Everything that's wrong in this world, Jesus is the solution to. Everything in our eternity that we need, He's the solution to. Jesus is the answer to the problems in this world. And so when we see Jochebed, a mother of sacrifice and faith, Jesus is our sacrifice. Our faith is in Jesus, and He produces more faith in us like the mustard seed faith, right? When we have a little bit of faith, He'll make up the difference. Naomi, a mother of influence and redemption. Well, Jesus is the influence we have. When we have Christ in us, what do people see? Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the influence that we have and that we're called to. And then redemption, of course, Jesus is our redemption. He said that we are sons and daughters. He's redeemed us like Ruth was redeemed, that she became a real daughter. And Mary, a mother of belief and prayer. Well, Jesus gives us the promise, whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And then of prayer, Jesus is our intercessor. He's making intercession for you and I as we pray to the Father. We only have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. So in conclusion, all of these principles as moms, this world needs to see moms living for Jesus. They need to see Jesus in moms. And I've seen it. I've been the beneficiary in my life of my mom living for Jesus. And when I think of humility and I think of servanthood and I think of deep love, I think of my mom. And it's so special to have a mom who loved Jesus. May we be parents, may we be moms and dads who love Jesus, that our kids would look back and say, I watched my mom and dad, and they loved Jesus. They gave us Jesus. Were they perfect parents? Who is? There's no perfect parents. But what you can do is give them Jesus. And that love covers a multitude of failings as parents. Let's be those parents and be those godly moms. In Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for all that you have done for us on the cross. We thank you, God, for godly moms, whether they're our blood moms, our stepmoms, surrogate moms, all these different things, Lord, even spiritual moms. I know that you've provided wonderful spiritual mothers in my life. And so, Lord, as we sing these songs today, may we rejoice in your plan for raising up kids, that they would know the love of a mother, they would know the love of a father. And so, Lord, this day as we honor motherhood, may we have a view of it like you have a view of motherhood, a high view. Not sparing even your son. Your son came through a mother. As she gave birth to him, as she nursed him, took care of him, Lord, you subjected yourself to the care of a mother and surrendered yourself to that care. And so, Lord, you have a high view of motherhood. May we share that. May we view it as something to be honored and held in high esteem. In Jesus' name. Amen.